Welcome to the Weekend Digital Marketing So Far. It's Friday, August 2nd. We're going to get started off like we do every week over on YouTube. A law is being proposed in Congress which would ban websites like YouTube from running autoplay videos. It would also ban social media websites from doing that infinite scroll thing like what you see on Instagram and Facebook. Now, this has a long ways to go before it actually becomes a law, but it's interesting to see politicians trying to tackle social media addiction. Over on Google, they've rolled out a new feature for Google Ads. It's essentially like close variants, but for phrase match and modified broad match. Essentially what that means is that Google is going to make your ads trigger on keywords that it thinks have the exact same meaning as keywords that you set as phrase match or modified broad match inside of your Google Ads campaign. Now, this is upsetting a lot of PPC marketers because it essentially means there's going to be about a 3-4% increase in clicks on ads, and it could end up driving down the conversion rate while increasing the cost per conversion. Google Analytics is disabling any property that gained data from the tool known as Nacho Analytics, which shut down and went out of business a couple of weeks ago. Nacho Analytics used desktop clickstream data and imported it into a property created by a user so that they could monitor the usage of a website by other people on the internet. Now, this created a lot of problems because it ended up revealing weaknesses and vulnerabilities, and it turns out hackers were using it to try to find exploits in other websites. Nacho Analytics has said that they will offer a refund to anyone whose property is getting deleted by Google Analytics. According to Barry Schwartz over at Search Engine Roundtable, Google has removed references to PageRank and 200 ranking signals in their documentation about disavowing links. This may or may not mean anything. Some people are reading into it saying that Google has killed PageRank internally and that links no longer matter. That's probably not true, but it's interesting nonetheless. Matt Tutt, an SEO located in the United Kingdom, interviewed Mike Blumenthal, a noted local SEO expert and somebody who's been tracking Google's local efforts for around a decade, if not longer. In the interview, Mike consistently referred to Google as a monopoly and a company with monopolistic positions. During the interview, Matt asked Mike about Google's travel endeavors and how they've been working on travel. In his response, Mike pointed out that Google most likely abused their position as a place where people go to search for travel to eventually build their travel portals and a way to make money off of people booking travel instead of sending them to websites like Travelocity or Booking.com. Google's John Mueller revealed that when somebody performs a search using Google Assistant and Google reads an answer aloud, that it doesn't track this in any way that we can see inside of Google Search Console or in any other fashion. Hopefully that changes soon, but just so you know, if you've got a featured snippet and you think people are running queries using Google Assistant and Google is reading that answer, there's no way for you to see that information right now. You don't know how many clicks you're losing to your website because people are staying on Google or just closing the app after they get the answer. An article in BuzzFeed discusses the buying and selling of dropped domains with links from major publications. Now, the article discusses this as a way that people might be trying to game Google. This has been going on since people started linking to websites and since Google became a thing. Anybody that's been in SEO for even a little bit of time probably knows about this, but it's an interesting read nonetheless. I highly recommend that you read this article. It's located down there in the description. Now, I don't recommend BuzzFeed very often, so it's probably not going to be something I say again, but please do go read this article. Google's Danny Sullivan wrote an official blog post on the Google Webmaster blog detailing how you might be able to improve a piece of content for Google's broad core updates that have been rolling out. Now, in the blog post, he lists several questions you can ask yourself about a piece of content to help you update it or change it and help it rank more highly in future broad core updates. If this sounds familiar, it's because it's eerily reminiscent of the blog post Amit Singhal published following the Panda update several years ago, again on the Google blog, which is pretty vague. It doesn't give you any direct answers, but you can use it to try to help yourself understand the core updates better and what Google is trying to find in your piece of content to rank it more highly. Over on Facebook, an EU court has determined that websites that integrate the iconic like button from Facebook are liable for any data users transfer to Facebook via the like button, even though they have no control over that data or how it's transferred to Facebook in any way, shape, or form. Now, this decision is outside of the EU's GDPR legislation, and the court case actually originated before GDPR was even a thing. It remains to be seen how this is going to actually impact websites, especially small businesses that use the like button. However, I do expect to see some lawsuits in the European Union surrounding this matter. You may want to remove the like button if you're a website located in the European Union and you're worried about possibly getting sued, especially if you're a big company. You may want to take that down until this matter is completely settled. Over on Instagram, they deleted meme curation pages with millions of followers, and this outraged teenagers who had been making money from these pages. But Instagram says that all of the accounts they took down had multiple violations of their policies, and they are taking them down for that reason. Bing has asked webmasters and SEOs to give them feedback on their webmaster guidelines. These are typically things that are going to impact search quality, spam, and even ranking factors. So you can reach out to Bing on Twitter. You can tell them something you think needs to be turned down or completely ignored or even penalized, or things that you think might need to be turned up to improve that quality. One of the things I recommended was removing those branded footer links or any value passed on those branded footer links put on websites by website designers, often without the website owner or the business owner having any clue what it is or how it may end up impacting them in the design agency. Over on Snapchat, they rolled out a new tool to try to help advertisers make ads, even though they're probably pointless, on Snapchat more easily. The new tool is called Instant Create, and it helps you make a new ad on Snapchat in only 3 steps. Snapchat also launched a hashtag takeover campaign on Instagram in an attempt to tell people that Snapchat is where your real friends are and that Instagram is where your fake friends are. Twitter, just like Snapchat, and I'm starting to think this might have been coordinated, also launched an advertising campaign attacking Facebook and Instagram, claiming that Twitter is where you can be your real self, but that when you're on Facebook and Instagram, you're your fake self just posing for strangers. It's bonus round time! Apple joined the Data Transfer Project, a project initially kicked off last summer by Google, Twitter, and Facebook to help users transport their data seamlessly between large online technology services. After a trial run, Chase Bank has decided to go with an artificial intelligence writer over human copywriters to make their marketing copy from here on. Now, this comes after the AI actually beat out humans in creating marketing copy that was more effective at getting new customers. Food delivery apps are under fire after new research shows that 1 in 4 delivery drivers admit to testing the food, to tasting it, the food they're delivering to consumers before they deliver it. Oh, gross. The Athletic is proving that consumers will actually pay for well-written, high-quality, timely content that they want to read around a subject that they're interested in. They just hit 500,000 subscribers, which pales in comparison to websites and apps like Netflix and HBO Now, but it is still a pretty large number for written content, and maybe this means that we can start getting people to subscribe to written content instead of seeing so many ads polluting the web. A new analysis of a study we actually brought you several weeks ago by FreshChalk shows that websites built by Wix, Weebly, Squarespace, and GoDaddy's Page Builder do not rank highly in Google whatsoever. Now, any seasoned SEO is out there laughing, wondering why we had to actually tell you this or whether there had to be a study around this. But a lot of business owners and consumers don't think there's a difference. There is a gigantic difference. If you're on Wix or Weebly or Squarespace, or you built your website using the Page Builder on GoDaddy, you should know that your website probably will not rank highly in Google. Hi out there in podcast land. Thank you so much for tuning in to this week's episode. If you like these recaps, please subscribe. If you don't like these recaps, please tell me why, and we will try to make them better for you. Thank you for everybody that has subscribed so far. I really appreciate it. Having a great time here. If you have any feedback, please head over to joeyoungblood.com and send me feedback.